This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell. It is wonderful to be here with you a week after the day after or something like that.
You ready for the Mardi Gras season?
I am ready. Am I ready for the Mardi Gras season? You know, it's a funny one. As I'm going around and seeing all this come up, it's a little bit strange to me because the Super Bowl was kind of like the first event of Mardi Gras. So I kind of feel like we're already in it. I mean, it had the same energy, the same kind of tension, the same parade. So people are like, oh, yeah, you know, it's screwed of Houdinot. I'm like, well, wait a minute. We already had like the parade last weekend. So I'm a little bit discombobulated, but that's pretty much par for the course for me. So, you know,
Michael, the accolades continue to come in for the job that the city did relative to Super Bowl, and they're all positive.
Yeah, it's been, you know, everybody was asking me, you know, first they were asking me, like, you know, like on the Friday before the game, they were saying congratulations, and I was like, oh, please, like, we still have to land the plane. And as we know, I mean, you know, but then, you know, on the Monday after, everybody said, oh, you must be so excited. You must be so relieved. But, you know, that when you're in that moment, Newell, you're kind of just still in the moment. And so, but now a week after, and after everything has really fallen out, the city, the state, everybody executed so well. The Sports Foundation, the host committee, the Saints, the stadium. And then we got a little lucky because there's always an element of luck. And I just looking back on this, you know, people are saying, you know, what could have been done better? What would you change? What somebody asked me yesterday, you know, what happened bad that nobody knew about? And the answer is that there's just not much. I mean, I don't know that we'll ever even kind of achieve this level of kind of overall excellence again, because everything fell into place in a way that was kind of magical. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but I just don't know, besides the game itself.
I think KC led
us. With programming.
KC let us down. They could have made it a better game. Didn't matter to me who won. It would have been nice if it had been, you know, back and forth and, you know, to the bitter end. But other than that, I can't think of anything. I thought everything was executed very well. I'm very excited that y'all are going to continue to meet, which is one of the things that I wanted to talk about this morning. Because in my monologue this morning, I was looking at an opinion piece that Ron Fauché did on February 16th a couple of days ago in NOLA.com.
It's dark, huh?
Yeah, and I know you are familiar with that survey. We really didn't have an opportunity to talk about it through the holidays or afterwards. But it is not pretty. And it's like, I think a lot of people are focusing on the successes that we had relative to Super Bowl, and they really want to keep that momentum going. I mean, these numbers, as you well know, are dynamic. They're going to change. In fact, I think they would be better today mm-hmm. than they were on December 16th because of the job that was done. But, I mean, it is stark, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, I just pulled up the survey numbers. So back in December, there was 72% positive for managing events such as Super Bowl, and then the highest number for anything else in the city was 30%. So it's I've told Ron I've never really seen poll numbers like this. They're kind of unbelievable, but we know they're true. But I think to your point, if we continue this rhythm of work that we did for the Super Bowl, and we now take the next 500 projects that we want to do, and then we execute against them, most of the things on this list are going to fall within that. You know, sanitation, maintenance of parks and buildings, protecting the tree canopy, crime and public safety, issuance of permits and licenses, maintenance of sidewalks, drainage, homelessness, street repair. So with very few exceptions on this list, I'm not quite sure that we're going to get at climate change. But almost everything else on this list is part of what we did for the Super Bowl within, you know, 3 miles of the dome. And so what's, I think, the point you're getting at, what's kind of gotten in my craw, is that the work that we did for the Super Bowl could be seen as a microcosm of the work that could be done for the entire city, because, frankly, the city is just not that large in terms of size or population. And so that's what we're going to try to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, as I've said before, this basic prioritization of these critical services first, basic services, to the detriment of everything else. I think we need to excel there first before we try to take on anything else. And I hear this all the time, and it frustrates me. Well, you know, Newell, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. Well, the truth be told, no, we can't, because we haven't.
Well, it's also just not the right metaphor. I mean, the right metaphor is that you're building a house, and if the foundation is not stable, then it doesn't matter how pretty you paint the walls.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, and so, we're fortunate right now because we have an election coming up, both in criminal justice with the sheriff's race now. That's going to be contested. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how the mayor's race is going to stack up. But we have an announced candidate, waiting to see if anyone else is thinking about doing so. And this is really an inflection point, I think, for the city. We're at a crossroads here. And I think it's even doubly important. I'd love to hear from you on this issue. When we have a landscape and a culture that's attempting to be developed inside the Beltway in D.C., of cutback management, that's, you know, we're going to be facing a different way of financing in this city, and we better start looking inside our own house, and we're going to have to zing on every dollar spent, because I don't think the largesse is going to be there for the next 3 years. Your thoughts?
What you're saying is true. It's accurate, and it becomes pretty pretty stark when you consider that, you know, you could make an argument, and it's not a judgment, it's just kind of an observation, that for the past two decades, a lot of the funding that has flown, that's flowed into the city and frankly the state, has been money either from disasters like Katrina, like the BP oil spill, or one-time funding like ARPA, IIJA, or the IRA. And so when you kind of cut back to the basic operating model and say, what would this city and the state look like if it just had to pay its own way, just had to fund its own operations, it becomes, a much more of a challenge of efficiency. And you start saying, we have to both, like you said, be smarter about the return we're getting on our dollars. And there probably needs to be some you know, some kind of internal doging going on where we where we're critical and we audit what we're doing. And you're right, it could end up leading to very lean times if we're not smart about how we leverage every dollar to create the conditions for more investment, more residents, and therefore more revenue in the future, as opposed to going into a spiral the other way.
And I don't know that we have the benefit of waiting, right? I mean, I know that this mayor is in within the last year of within the last not 10 months of her term. This needs to be done now.
Yeah, you can't wait. You can't wait.
And it's not a popular thing to do. It's not a fun thing to do by any stretch of the imagination, but it's an absolute necessity.
Yeah, it's you have to do it, and you have to do it looking into the future. It's actually, we were having a discussion on our board the other day about whether the potential freezing of all grants was going to impact GNO Inc. And, you know, it's still not clear what's going to happen, if anything, with that. But I said, you know, we were concerned, but we weren't panicked, because when we came into GNO Inc. Over 15 years ago, the organization was financially upside down. And the reason is that the organization that I inherited had a number of employees that had been brought on by Katrina grants, and the grants had run out, but the employees had stayed. And so there was this kind of grant overhang, which meant that the operating model of GNO Inc. was upside down. And so we made a commitment back then, once we got ourselves upright, that we would always attempt to run the organization so that our membership contributions, our corporate donations, could run the organization, pay the rent, and pay the employees. So even if all of the grants disappeared tomorrow, nobody would have to go. It'd be very difficult, but we could still run the organization. And we've kept pretty true to that. We sometimes stray a little bit, particularly when there's so much money coming from the government. But it's that kind of conservative attitude, looking into the future, and I don't want to say catastrophizing, but making sure that we can survive a worst-case scenario that we probably have to be thinking about in cities and states right now, because this is what the next 8 years are probably going to look like.
Yeah, but it's the fiscally prudent thing to do, right? I mean, then if somebody drops the pot of gold on you, on some date, you're able to do those special project things that you just can't find the appropriate financing for, and you address your wish list items, and then you move on.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, it's, disaster funding is not a great revenue strategy over time. You'd much rather just have I'm a bad gambler, but I know that when I go into a casino, I'm going to go in with whatever I go in, my $100. And if I lose it, I lose it. If I get lucky up front when I'm playing blackjack and I've got $150, I take my $100 off the table, put it in my back pocket, and I'm done with that. And then I just play with the 50. And it's not as much fun. But, the next morning, the hangover is not as bad either. And so, but if we're smart about this, Newell, we're going to come out stronger. And that's kind of the idea, because we'll have a city that is spending within its means, but also one that's smarter. I heard a saying a while ago that I thought was so brilliant. It was a guy who works in cities, and he said, cities have to stop thinking about what they owe and start thinking about what they own. And what he meant is that there are a lot of older cities that are cash poor, but have incredible assets that can be leveraged, whether it's real estate that can be sold or leased, or it's public-private partnerships that can be entered into in order to generate cash. And so we have to start looking, when older cities like New Orleans, start looking at our balance sheet and seeing what we have that can be leveraged to create the services that we want for our residents every day. And so that type of creativity, I think, is also going to be called for.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, how many parking lots does a city own? A bunch.
Right. I mean,
I'm not so sure that's the best ROI. I mean, they're very lucrative for the operator, but as the property owner, I mean, you're not generating a whole lot of tax base there. Obviously, you're not generating a lot of wealth from an ad valorem tax perspective or otherwise. I mean, it was kind of the same quagmire that we ended up with the Four Seasons, whether we were going to do it one way with a lease or sell the property outright, because of where the money would go by the constraints of the city charter.
Right.
You know, you look,
exactly.
you look back and you say, this is crazy.
Yeah. You know, the best creative, solution that I've heard of is out in Denmark. They were able to build an entire, basically they were able to take a former military base. They were able to then lease that military base to developers for new housing. And then with the revenue that they got from the developers and the new housing, they were able to build a new subway line out to the new housing with no new tax dollars. And that's the kind of creative way of thinking about how to develop a city that we have to do. It can't just be, you know, waiting for a grant to come from the federal government, because that's become very, very uncertain.
Michael, one of the other things I talked about in my monologue is that we got to stop thinking parochially, parish by parish, city by city, especially the multiple parishes that make up Southeast Louisiana. We need the city to succeed. We need it to succeed in a big way. It's got the national identity. And I don't know that we really understand the successes that we have individually help lead to the successes that we can have as a whole.
Absolutely.
And it's never more true than in crime fighting. And I'm very proud of the job that my successor, Joe Lapinto, has done, reaching the lowest crime rate year in Jefferson Parish since 1974. He's been able to achieve numbers that I always dreamed about when I was sheriff. You know, getting down below 10,000 UCR Part 1 crime offenses. He did that a couple of years back and has done it again. Actually, they're down into the 7,000s. That is absolutely unbelievable, phenomenal, and congratulations to them. And what I really like about what he's doing as well is they continue to deploy technology in a way that's really operationally meaningful, and, and obviously the stats reflect it.
Yeah, I mean, you did such an extraordinarily good job in Jefferson Parish, and Sheriff Lapinto is clearly building on that base. To say that the parish is the safest it's been in nearly 50 years is an extraordinary statement. It's difficult to believe these days, but the numbers are there, and you, of course, can feel it. And I do think that what's interesting is that anytime you talk to folks like Joe, or you talk to Chief Kirkpatrick here in New Orleans, or people around the country, they'll talk about technology. And they'll talk about it, I find, Newell, not so much in terms of preventing crime, but in terms of solving crime. And that's why, you know, I think the solve rate in the 8th District of New Orleans has gone up to over 80%, which is extraordinarily high. And what that does is it prevents, of course, future crimes, because most of the perpetrators are, you know, are repeat offenders.
Sure.
So
I
know there were some questions about crime and about, you know, the constitutional use of it. But I think we've demonstrated in Jefferson Parish for sure, and in New Orleans, that you can use it the right way. It does not impinge on freedom, and it absolutely saves lives.
Absolutely. We will be right back. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc. Stay with us.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oops. Welcome back, folks. We are visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc. Michael, we have a special guest who I say is a purveyor of aromas more so than anything else. I know he does a lot of different things, and he does them well.
Yeah, I think that Sidney Torres IV is more of a purveyor of vibes, right? I mean, here's a guy who's had a very glamorous career. He's been on TV. He's worked with Lenny Kravitz. He's runs, I don't know, 20, 25 different companies. He has a resort in the Bahamas. But the thing that he's most well known for and appreciated for today in New Orleans is making us smell like Febreze. So thank you, Sidney Torres IV.
Well, thank you, Newell, and thank you, Mike. What a great welcome. Thank you, guys.
So, Sidney, it's good to hear from you. I know that a lot of people were very happy when you stepped back into the arena handling the French Quarter. You obviously played a role in Super Bowl preparations. Tell us about it.
It's been a whirlwind. You know, we took this contract over on the 23rd of December, and we had the big event on Bourbon Street with the guy driving down and entering and killing those individuals. It was that was kind of the start of it, and then we had to clean up after all of that, working with the FBI and all the local police, state, district. And then after that, we had to prepare for Super Bowl and get ready for Super Bowl, which was a major successful event. And I think people are very happy. We put all hands on deck. We bought all new equipment. The equipment we use, like those pressure washer trucks you see, are $100,000 a piece. We have those two of those on the street, and plus the other setups with the Polarises with the big two pressure washers on the back. So, you know, equipment, bringing back a lot of our other teammates who were part of this contract when we had it years ago, has made it a huge success with the group that we have. And obviously the lemon fresh patent fragrance that we use on the streets that really smells lemony fresh. People love that smell. But, you know, we've been real busy just really detailing the French Quarter surface, cleaning the grounds, not just washing and spraying the streets. We're actually deep cleaning with the surface cleaner and washing it all. And so, no, we're really excited about it. We're getting ready for Mardi Gras now, and we feel good about going into Mardi Gras. We came out of Super Bowl very successfully, and we're happy that the residents and the tourists are noticing.
One thing I noticed about you, Sydney, is that you pay attention to the details, you know, and you're very detail-oriented. Is there anything that you were presented with in the French Quarter that was a challenge for you guys?
Absolutely. I mean, it was one challenge after the next. I don't want to complain too much, but I mean, you know, what happened with the individual driving down Bourbon Street that created all these barricades and blockages and National Guard, and I think it's great, and it helps the safety of the residents and tourists, but it was just really difficult working through that with trying to clean and get clearance and working through that. And then with Super Bowl, they had extra security with the president coming in town, so you know, we had to get all the clearances for our guys and working closely with law enforcement. On a good note, we're all working great well together, and we're all working together to make sure that we get in on time and clean everything up. But it's been different than when I had it years and years ago with my old company because of all the barricades and the different things that they have going on, and the construction as well. They rushed to get all the construction done within a certain amount of time with Super Bowl, so we were working around all that. But we're through that now. We have the barricades. We still have that challenge, but we have good communication lines with the National Guard and the state police and the governor's office, and all that's working really well with the logistics. So that's been a huge help with working with all those guys. And so those are some of the challenges that we've been working through. But our team's got a good handle on it now, and I feel like, you know, now we're just fine-tuning it and just making it even better than what it was before.
Sydney, I've had the opportunity to visit areas very similar to the French Quarter in other areas of the world, Barcelona being one, Old Town there. And they have a very unique way that they dispose of waste. If you had a magic wand, what would you change about the way that we address that in the French Quarter?
Well, we already are doing that in small ways as far as the recycling piece and, you know, glass half full with the glass, you know, trying to use the glass products. I know a lot of different restaurants are going through that process to divert it from the landfill. There are different ways to deal with it. I don't want to upset Riverbrush, but because they're the source, you know, where everything goes, and they're a great partner, by the way. We do, you know, bring all of our waste to Riverbrush, and they do a great job, and they work, Mr. Jim Ward and Fred Hebe work very well with us, so they do a great job, but there are different ways that people do it in other countries, but I think we're a long ways away from, you know, landfill going to incinerating, but on the recycling side, I think,
but
right
I'm,
now...
I'm talking about more on the front end of what, you know, your guys on the street, what they're doing, you know, with trash bins and, you know, trash receptacles, the way that we put garbage out, the frequency, I mean,
well,
all of those things.
Absolutely. In San Francisco, they have code enforcement people that go around and dig through cans because you have compost, you have glass, you have recycling. We're not there yet. I mean, there's a lot of things that have to happen before we get there, but that's if you want to change it, it's really a behavioral thing that you have to work with the residents and commercial businesses to do, and you need city enforcement to do that. That's something that could be done, but I think that it's something that's going to take time. I know, like Mardi Gras, with all the beads and the recycling, you know, we're trying to work with individuals to recycle that instead of bringing that to the landfill. But, you know, things are in the motion. They're just not there where I'd like to see them.
What particular strategy that you've deployed do you think has really been the most successful for you in dealing with, you know, waste disposal?
I think, look, it's taken pride in a business that people think is just something like, oh, it's just trash. You know, I mean, I think, you know, working with my teammates, spending a lot of time with them, coaching them on when you drive by in a Polaris and you're a supervisor and you pass up a cigarette butt or you pass up a cup, if I see you doing that, we're going to have a serious problem, because you're not supposed to be just a supervisor riding around Mr. Big Shot on a Polaris. You're out there looking for cups and bottles and cigarette butts. You're an example. And so it starts from the top down. And I think, you know, getting out there and working with the guys and being hands-on and making sure they understand, like, look, I'm doing the same thing I'm asking you to do. So, you know, let's do a great job when we do it. And let's go the extra mile. If you see grass growing up through the sidewalk on Bourbon Street or on the back residential areas of weeds, hey, during the week we're slow. Pull that stuff out. Get the weeds out the corner of the sidewalks and clean it up, you know. So it's little things. It's not major big secrets, but it's little things like that, constantly being in touch with those guys. And then the technology, Newell. I mean, I have GPS on every piece of equipment I have. Even with the radio guys walking with the brooms and the dustpans, all the radios have GPS in them. We track that. We make sure that they're hitting every street. We make sure that they're going down every 100 block. And we're not doing it to, you know, micromanage them, but we're doing it to give great quality work. And that's what we do throughout the whole city. We're responsible for 95% of the garbage in New Orleans. We pick up close to 125,000, 30,000 homes a week. And I know it's once a week and people were upset about that. That wasn't our choice, but we do it. But at the end of the day, we're responsible for 95% of the city. So we want to give back and do a great job to show the people that we care.
And you know, if I could just interrupt, I'm sorry, yeah, I just wanted to give an example of this that city is going to be too modest to describe. But I wanted to what Sydney's describing is ownership. There's a sense of ownership that clearly Sydney has for the whole city that goes down culturally through the company. So during the Super Bowl, I got a panicked call from somebody over at French Market Corporation saying, "Michael, the moonwalk is a mess. It's full of garbage. You know, can you help?" And so I immediately texted Sydney. Sydney immediately texted back, said, "Michael, that's actually not part of our contracted area, but we're on it." And a half an hour later, it was sparkling clean. That's the sense of ownership and teamwork and just a model of responsibility that when it starts at the top like that, the whole company behaves that way. And it doesn't matter whether you're picking up garbage or flipping burgers or running a law firm. It's that cultural sense of ownership, and that's the difference maker.
There's
well,
no
Michael,
doubt.
I appreciate that. Yeah,
go ahead,
Sid. Yeah, no, I appreciate Michael saying that, because we have a lot of great corporate people in this city. We have a lot of great owners of business restaurants and businesses like Mariani and Rami owns Oceana. There's you know, Galatoire's with John Georges and Melvin Rodriguez. These guys all care about, and you know, the Brennans, they care about the city. And what I love about seeing what happens in the French Quarter that doesn't happen in a lot of other places is they all come together to want to make it a better place. And they all are willing to put their money where their mouth is. Like when I started the French Quarter Task Force, I don't know if anybody really, you know, people still remember this, but I started those little black police cars that now you see everywhere through the French Quarter. When I started that task force and created the app for accountability, you know, everybody jumped in and wanted to help. Joe Yeager, God bless his heart, he's not with us anymore, but Joe Yeager, and people just started putting up money and wanting to help. That's the kind of thing when you guys were talking about before I came on the air about communities and parishes and cities in Louisiana coming together and working together. We could do so much if we all work together and not be on an island by yourself because political reasons you're friendly with this company or you're friendly with that company. You know, if everybody came into it with the idea of, hey, we want to make Louisiana great, we want to make New Orleans great, St. Bernard great, Jefferson, you know, we could go so much further with making this place what it needs to be and should be. And that's a huge thing. I think it's going to take time, but guys like you, Michael, and Newell, you know, bringing these things up can start the process, you know.
Absolutely. But I wanted to say this little anecdotal story, and I tell folks this all the time. I was driving down the street right by the Rib Room, and one of your guys was on a four-wheeler, and he stops in front of me, and he pulls over to the side, and I stop just out of curiosity because he saw something. I was like, what did he see? He gets off the four-wheeler. He pulls a spray bottle out, sprays a solution on the sidewalk, yanks this extended blade, and he's popping up bubble gum on the sidewalk. And I was like, I've seen it all. This is unbelievable. I mean, I cannot believe that this is happening. And literally, I'm telling you, I watched him for 2 minutes. People were blowing their horn. I said, I ain't leaving. I'm watching this.
I love it. Well, that's people who care. And honestly, the guys that we, and ladies and gentlemen that I work with on a daily basis with my company, I treat them like family. We're family. You know, they know when they say you don't have patience. Cause if I say, and I probably shouldn't say this on the air, but I get blind copied on every single email that comes through my company. People think I'm micromanaged too much, but I want to see where, if any complaints are coming in, like New Orleans has this system called 311, and it's a great system. Matt Torrey, the sanitation director, did a great job managing that, setting that up. And it tracks how many missed stops you have in a week. And every Wednesday we get these metrics of what we've missed and what's invalid, because we have cameras on our trucks and we can tell if somebody put their can out late. So that would be marked invalid. But out of 125,000, 30,000 homes that we pick up a week, we miss maybe 3 or 4. If you look at the statistics around this metro area, that is, to me, I think would be, you know, a good thing to look at. We take great pride in not missing. And if we do, we correct it quickly. So I think taking ownership, like Michael said, is a major part in my success and having a great team around me that has that same belief and wanting to do good things. So anyway, that's kind of why my guys clean up the gum and go the extra mile, because I think it's something that, you know, we've all worked together to train everyone to be in that type of behavior and that thinking process.
So you have a big influence on how we deal with all of this. What's next for you guys, for you, in working with the city and working with others?
You know, politics always comes into anything you do when you have government contracts. And you know, it's just what it is, right? Especially garbage. It's one of the largest parts of the expense for a budget in any city or parish, right? So, you know, it's always... when we went to once a week, or the city went to once a week, you know, that was, people would come and say, oh, you changed it to once a week. And it's like, no, I didn't. They did that for budgetary reasons. And, you know, that had nothing to do with us. We just bid on the contract and that was part of it. But I think what's in the future, you know, I'm not looking to go to St. Tammany like I did before. I was in 24 cities and parishes throughout the state. I'm looking to stay in New Orleans and make the metro area of New Orleans, St. Bernard, Jefferson, all the areas that we service in commercially, residential, government work, really focus and do a good job here and focus all my attention to whatever we can do to make this a cleaner and safer city. And I look forward to doing that with Michael and other people like you, Newell, and working as a group to get that done.
Absolutely. It's very refreshing to hear that. Thank you so much, Sydney, for joining us. Congratulations. Job well done. During Super Bowl, and I'm sure the same in Mardi Gras. I hear comments all the time about how much cleaner people feel better when they're walking in a clean environment. They just do. And, you know, human nature is the first impression's the lasting impression. And if you walk into the quarter and you see garbage, that's what you're going to remember.
That's true.
just the way it is. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Congrats. And we will be right back, folks, with Michael Heck for his final thoughts. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. On the text line, I personally saw Sydney riding in a little runaround, moving cans and picking stuff up on Royal Street the Saturday before the Super Bowl. It's things like that that people notice. They notice the details as well, and they appreciate when they see the leader doing that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. I knew this when I was back in the restaurant business, Newell, that, you know, you were walking around if you saw something on the ground. I mean, I was the one cleaning dog poop up, you know, on the front walk, or, you know, it's just, you've got to accept that example and others will follow.
I try to pick up a piece of garbage on the street or otherwise every day. It's a little goal.
Yeah, but Newell, watch your back when you're doing it. Make sure you bend down properly, okay?
It's getting harder and harder by the day, my friend.
We'll get you one of those little grabby things, you know.
When I start walking with a cane, it's going to be a dual purpose thing where you can pick up the garbage with it as well.
Yeah, like a little hurricane trash grabber.
There you go. Maybe we might be a little niche. There might be a future in that. Michael, Jefferson Parish celebrates their bicentennial celebration here, 200 years. There's a lot of recent announcements, a lot of activities going on.
It was a great birthday week for President Chiang and the council and Jefferson Parish. Over on the West Bank, we had the Japanese company UBE had the groundbreaking ceremony for the start of construction for a $500 million facility that's making electric vehicle battery components. Then you had Renegade RNGD, which is a homegrown construction firm that is basically consolidating from Tapatulas and Jefferson into a massive 14-acre site on LNA Road. They're kind of disrupting the whole industry. They're vertically integrated, doing design, construction, come up with new techniques, and doing workforce training. And then over again on the West Bank in Gretna, I got to give a shout out to my brother, who worked with Jedco and the parish and Mayor Constant. They took that old schoolhouse, the primary schoolhouse right in the middle of Gretna, which was just sitting there for years, and they've transformed it into a co-working space, which I think is going to be great for Gretna, and show how you can do adaptive reuse to revitalize old structures. So it was a great week for Jefferson Parish, not only of style and celebration, but also of substance.
Yeah, it was exciting to hear all about all of those projects. I was also excited to see something that you sent me, Michael, about UNO and where they rank. We know that they have had to address some serious cuts because of funding and financing, but they're still hitting the mark.
Yeah, you know, I had dinner last night with President Johnson, and we talked about this with some of her team. UNO is in a challenging financial situation now, one that's been, you know, many years in the making. It's not Kathy's fault. She inherited it. But what I said is, you know, we can fix this financial model. The essential product of UNO, which is to help create the middle class and create economic opportunity for Southeast Louisiana, that remains its strength. And this ranking, which shows that UNO is at the top 10% of four-year schools in the country, according to the 2024 Social Mobility Index, you know, supports that assertion. So I'm concerned about UNO because we have to get it right, but I'm not worried because I think that any institution that delivers opportunity to its students at a great price should do well over time.
Absolutely, and we wish them the best. And if there's any way that we can help, let us know. That's where I graduated from, and UNO is near and dear to my heart for sure. Michael, as always, this hour flies by. Thank you so much for joining us. Always appreciate your time, your insight. Have a great first weekend second weekend already of Mardi Gras.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I just checked, Newell, we only have 2,182 days to the next Super Bowl. So we're getting ready.
Just keep those projects going, man. That's all I want. And we'll check in with your pothole every now and again. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. Stay with us.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.